So welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming to this session. My name is Giorgio Sardo, and I'm a Microsoft Technical Evangelist. I work in Redmond, other side of the world. I usually work, like in the last years, I've been working a lot in the web space, with web standards, with the browser. But in my background, I work a lot with the mobile as well. I was one of the guys playing with Silverlight for mobile. I did a lot of projects with Silverlight, a lot of projects with Compat Framework. And then it's a very pleasure for me to be here and today talk about the news with Windows Phone 7. Before I start getting into the session, I will ask you, I have a request for you. So I've been traveling like a crazy in the last 2 days. I've been like in 3 countries in the last 24 hours doing other session, etc. So at some point during the conversation, I might just like start going down and start sleeping. If I do that, please do something. Throw me object, clap. Feel free to do whatever you want. If you like a demo, feel free to clap. If you don't like a demo, feel free to boo. Let's make it dynamic, interactive. So before starting, how many of you have already seen something about Windows Phone 7? How many of you have seen the mixed keynote? Mixed sessions? Okay, as you know, we announced the development platform for Windows Phone 7 series at MIX. That was our first time that we went loud with all the tools and all the good stories for developers. And today I'm going to show you some of the best content from MIX, plus something else. And it's not just by myself. So in the book, in the agenda that you have, you see a few sessions for the Windows Mobile 7 series. And they don't really give you the title and the description. They're very generic. So those are the sessions that you will see in the next days. So today, I'm going to cover Silverlight. I'm going to talk about the Silverlight development. And I'm going to introduce you to the control, to the services, to the platform. Later today, Rob is going to talk about gaming. So gaming experience, XNA, and how to build games using XNA on Windows Phone. Tomorrow, there will be a session about how to migrate 6.5 application to the Windows Phone 7. And Charlie, our guy from the Windows Mobile team, you should know this guy, is the guy that is making all of this possible. Charlie, tomorrow, is going to give you like the overview of the broader platform, the broader plan. He's going to talk to you about the marketplace, about all the thinking behind, and everything that the mobile team has been working in the last years. All right. So I think with this introduction, we can start. In the agenda for today, I was thinking to go through these big areas. I will start with a quick introduction to the platform to make you feel comfortable with what the new platform for Windows Phone is. And then I'm going to cover some of the control and some of the services that you can use today using the emulator. Lastly, there will be a Q&A. This is a 300 session. And if you've seen some of my sessions before, I like to show a lot of demos. At some point, you might feel like you've seen 20, 30 demos. That's normal. That's my goal. I want to show you a lot of demos, and I want you to go home and play with those demos. So all the code that I'm using today is online. You can download it. You can watch it more with more time. You can recompile it. You can debug it. You can inspect it. Today, I want to give you an overview of what's possible. Let's start from the platform. How many of you here in this room are Silverlight developers? Well, I have an announcement for you. Congratulations. From today, you are a Windows Phone 7 developer for free. Why? Well, when we start talking about the Windows Phone 7 platform, we adopted Silverlight because we want to make the developer experience very easy. It's one Silverlight, only one Silverlight. Same tools that you are familiar with, same Visual Studio, same coding practices, same code, obviously, C#, you are familiar with C#. And if you didn't use Silverlight before, I guess, how many .NET developers in this room? Yes. I love this audience. Yesterday, I was in another meeting that was like kind of like the anti-Microsoft end. How many .NET developers? What is .NET? So, great audience. So if you're familiar with .NET, the boundary between Silverlight and .NET is very small. Basically, you can start using C#. You have the XAML to define an interface, and everything is easier. So same tools, Visual Studio and Blend that you can use. There is a specific SKU of Visual Studio that you can already download, It's free and allows you to build application for Windows Phone. Today I will use the Visual Studio Ultimate, Release Candidate 1, but you can run all of my demos with the free version. So let's start from like the generic Hello World demo. I just want to start with something easy. So we start Visual Studio. I will create a new project. So if I go to File, New Project, I have here a new section, Silverlight for Windows Phone. And I create a new project, Hello World. And this will create for me like a new template project with the Hello World stuff. Let's go a little bit more in depth into this tool. So you can see, first of all, you can see like the emulator, the design environment is already there. So you can start like drag and drop object and creating object dynamically. And for example, I can add a button. And I will call this button do something. And then when I click on the button, I want to, for example, show a message box. I'm very creative, as you can see, with the text. Right? Nothing different so far. If I load the app file, this is what starts the application. And I want to point you, though, to the phone navigation, phone application frame. We will talk about this in a few minutes. This is where your application will start. Also, you can notice, like, if you go to the properties of the project, you have a few properties that allows you to change settings on the specific settings for the phone application. The reason I'm showing you this stuff is that if you're familiar with Silverlight, today, I'm not going to give you an overview of Silverlight. I'm going to tell you what has you have in the Windows Phone platform that you didn't have before in Silverlight. So this is like an extension to or what you already know about Silverlight. So next step, I set a breakpoint. I send this to the emulator. So I have the emulator here. It comes with the tool. The emulator has like the image of Windows Phone 7, obviously. It deploys the application. It goes in debug mode, so it's attaching to the process. I have my big button. Oh, by the way, I'm not a designer, in case you didn't notice. So you have this big button. You click the button, and voila, you are in your debugger. And you can start doing exactly the same kind of development that you always did with .NET. So this is very, very straightforward. Any questions so far? Okay, good. I'm going to go a little bit more complex in a second. So the next question probably is like, what if I already have a Silverlight application today? How can I make that application? How can I port that application to the phone? Well, to show you this, I created this scenario where I have three projects in this solution. The first one is a Silverlight application, generic Silverlight application for the web, for the desktop. The third one is a Windows Phone application, and then in the middle you see a library. This is a generic Silverlight library. If I go into the library, I have this Silverlight control one that includes only one button. It's a generic user control. I lost my mouse. And it includes a button. And in the button, I'll do something here. For example, I show again a message box. And I will say, hello from. And I'm going to use like my. I want to give a name to the operating system that is running this this demo. Who are you? Message box. Okay. So I have this control, this library, and I want to use the same library in a desktop project and in a phone project. So what you usually would do is just add in a reference. So let's add a reference. Add a reference project, my Silverlight library. Add a reference project, my Silverlight libraries. Next step, let's have a look to how this project looks in the browser. Let's compile everything. Let's start from the browser. Let's start from running the browser Silverlight application. Beautiful application. I click on the button, and I have hello from NT. This is, I'm running Windows 7, so obviously this is the name of my OS. Same code, same library. What happens on the phone? Let's try. Let's put a startup project. Let's run this demo in the emulator. Did you notice how fast it is? It's probably even faster than the desktop. Button, whoop, hello from Windows CE. So basically, same code, same library, and is actually completely shared between the two environments. And you will notice that this applies to most of the serverless stuff that you already know. There are very few exceptions that I'm going to cover later, but for most of the applications that you already have, everything should just work on the phone. So where is the difference? The mobile team is smart. And when they compile your application for the Windows phone, they basically optimize the performance. So they've done a lot of work to make it work and to optimize it specifically for the device hardware. So you don't need to care about, but I'm porting an application from the desktop to the mobile, so it will be slower. No. The emulator and the device will be very, very performant. All right. Next step. Basics about the architecture. The application, Windows Phone application, is made of pages. You should be familiar with this concept if you're using Silverlight 3. So you can navigate through pages, and each page of your application will show something different. You can navigate from within your application, or you can use the back button. The device has like three buttons on the bottom, and one of those is the back button. The device is aware of the rotation. So if you rotate the device, this will send a message to your application, and you can interact with that. And the screen size. So this one is a 480. The other screen resolution that we will support is 320 by 480. When you build an application, you need to optimize for both those screen sizes. And this will guarantee you that your application will run on any Windows Phone 7 series device. Let's have a look to the orientation. So I mentioned that let me create like a new project here. I can close this one. I mentioned that the phone automatically understands the orientation of the device. And automatically will rotate the content for you. So for example, in this case, I will add some generic content again to my form. It could be better, but for the sake of this demo, I'm just going to use like a small button. You have here like the Windows Phone controls, and as you did before, you can just like drag and drop, and you start building your application from here. So I have my button. I want to put this into a stack panel so that it expands itself to fill all the space possible. So I run this on the device this time. Notice that I switched the target from emulator to device. And basically now it's connecting the Windows Phone, the Visual Studio is connecting to my device and is deploying the application on the device and is attaching the debugger to my device. And now if I switch to the device, you can see the same application. And if I rotate the screen, you can see how the content is changing, right? You see that the orientation change? Whoop. But this animation is kind of like 0 or 1. It's fairly static. You can make it better. You can improve this. So I have here, for example, a few lines of code, very few lines of code. Did my homework, so I prepared a snippet. That will basically will create a better animation for the rotation. So I'm adding here like a storyboard, and then in the source code. Oh, and now I need to start the presentation again. So, Control Z. Voila. So, as I was showing before, we are here on the Visual Studio. We can close this for a second. I'm going to add like a storyboard to my project. And this storyboard will basically create a rotation animation. And then I need to load this storyboard. How can I do it? You can override a function, which is called orOrientationChanged. And this function, this event is called when the screen rotates. And in this function, I want to set up my storyboard, and I want to create a very fancy animation to rotate my full application. What this code does is just like generating an angle, and then it's taking your canvas and it's rotating it, but with a nice animation, so with a nice transition. Now, if I run this demo again on my device, and I also need to add here like a render transform region, 0.5, 0.5. I'm going to center the animation on the actual center of my screen. I run this on the device. Have you seen it? Oop. One, please. It's kind of like, let's try the other way. There it is. You see that this time the content is rotating. It's kind of like it's difficult to rotate the content when I want to show the phone in a flat position. But when it rotates, there is like a rotation of the entire content. And you can see how the performance is just smooth. And again, it's like 5 lines of code. And this can rotate any application. You can have a very complex application, and you can dynamically change your style and your layout. Why am I showing this? Because I did a lot of projects with Compact Framework. And with Compact Framework, this was painful. Well, it was possible, obviously. But if you start having graphics and having like fixed resources, it wasn't exactly easy. This time, you can do this kind of transitions very, very quickly. It's kind of straightforward. It's a very, very fun environment to play with, I can tell you. Oh, and by the way, so this device, I've been told earlier, I'm obviously very lucky because I own one of those. And I want to share this. Charlie, I'm sure he will agree with me. I want to share this with you. So let's do an action. They are suggesting $800 here for this device. Somebody wants to bet more? 900? Anyone? Obviously, the money will go to me. And well, by the way, let's talk about the navigation. The navigation in Silverlight 1 and Silverlight 2 was like you see in this chart. You have your application that have one or more user control, and each user control has the content inside. And the user control initially had the content of the other pages as well. So like the same user control had multiple contents, and in some way was switching the content from one way to the other. And this is not bad, because when you hit the back button on the browser, basically, you lose the status of the application. You just go back to the previous website. And this is why in Silverlight 3, we introduced the concept of a frame. So your application have a user control. Your user control can host a frame. And the frame allows you to navigate from page 1 to page 2 to page 3. And this is working, because then when you click the back button basically will call the navigation event on your frame. And this just works. What about the navigation on the phone platform? So on the Windows Phone platform, we started from the Silverlight 3 navigation model, and we said, why don't we just simplify it? And we put the user control and the frame together. And so this frame object that you see here is the same object that I showed you earlier in the Hello World application. Inside your app file, you have a frame, and that is your root of the project. And all the pages that you load inside your application basically are loaded inside the same frame. I have a quick demo for this. Those are very basic, and you can see how in the next demos I will go much more in detail into like the controls and the platform. But I think it's important to be on the same page with the basic options. Actually, I can use the previous project. So for example, I have this project here. Let's say that I'm adding another page. So you go to the project, you create a new item. When you create a new page, a typical error that I usually do, but again, I'm Thai, I don't know, I'm not a good developer. I'm sure you are better than me. But is adding a silver user control to my project. And right now, Visual Studio will not give you an error. But this is technically a mistake. You need to go into the CVI for Windows Phone, and then you will have specific templates for the phone platform. And so in this case, I want to add, for example, a portrait page. This page is called page one. And then from my main page, I want to navigate to the page one. So I think I created a button earlier. Let's add like an on-click event, which is called mouse left down down. How do I navigate from one page to the other? Anyone? CVI developers in the room. Come on, I said that you were better than me. Now you need to answer this. I'm better than you? Well, I prepared this. Navigation service. Navigation service is a static class that you can use to navigate in your project. And basically, it does have a navigate method. And you can pass like a URI to your method. And the URI can go, for example, to page one docsaml. Obviously, this is like a relative path. And this will allow you to browse to the next screen. What happens in page one? Well, let's say that we want to do the opposite. We want to go back. But I don't know where the user is coming from. So this button, basically, say, go back. When I hit this button, I want to call my navigation service and say, hey, I don't know where the user was, but wherever he was, go back to the previous stage. So let's run this in the emulator. I have my application. Click the first button, and it goes to the... And it goes to the... It doesn't go anywhere. Why? Mouse left button down. You don't have the click events in Silverlight. You have these complex events, mouse left, mouse right. I have to click it. Let's try. Charlie, do we have any giveaway? Other than the phone, obviously. I have a pen. Well done. Who was? Right. I'll give you my Windows Mobile 5.0. Right, so we have, let's go back to the demo. So we went to the second page. I go back and I navigate back. I can go again forward. You can also use the back button on the emulator or the device, and the back button basically will do exactly the same. We'll call the back. We'll go to the previous status in your application. So you need to enter in the, like when you start building your application, you need to think about your apps as made by several pages, and each page maintains its own status, its own environment. And when you go back, the user can navigate back to the previous state of the application. Have I seen this? Okay, now that you have the basics, and now that you teach me how to use the click event on the button, let's move to the controls. And I will show you some of the controls for the Windows Phone platform. So first of all, you have all of the controls that are in Silverlight 3. They are just available out of the box in the Phone 7 series. Some of those are already here in the build that we shipped. Some others will come in future releases. There are things that are specific for the phone. For example, the input. The input is very important, because when the user inputs something on the device, it could be text, it could be number, it could be a telephone number, it could be an email address. And depending on the type, on the scope of the input, basically your keyboard, your software keyboard, will change. We call this input scope. And those are some of the scopes that you can have on your device. I'll show you this in action. Maybe it's easier to understand it. So this demo here, I have, first of all, like I'm just going quickly through the demo. In my XAML page, I have a text box. and I have a list box. Easy as that. And the list box is data binding to some content that I'm generating in the code. From the code, you can see that I'm setting the item source on the list box, and I'm basically getting all the input scope, all the type of text that the user can input on the phone. And once the user change the selection on this list box, basically the text box will enumerate that specific input scope. Sounds complex, right? I'll show you this in action. It's much easier to understand. So, right. Let's go back to the device. You can see here that I have several inputs type. Better? Okay. And you can see, for example, that you have postal address, address, city. Let's go, for example, to a telephone number. And then when I click on the text box, you see the keyboard that opens. This is a software keyboard, and the software keyboard is optimized for a telephone number. If I select instead something like a password, well, the keyboard this time would be different. A really nice one is, let's see if I can find it, this one, the chat. The chat basically gives you the keyboard for chatting. Can you guess how it is? Like the others, but then you have this small icon. Obviously, this is not the final icon that opens all the emoticons, and then you can start using the emoticon more quickly. Now, this is an interesting bug. Obviously, it looks like the guy that built this was bored that day, but you're gonna have like the full set of emoticons, not just this one. The other important input on the device, so you have the keyboard, you have the finger, obviously, and everything is finger-friendly. You have automatic gesture recognition, so any scroll, like the scroll, the list box that you've seen previously will understand and will recognize automatically your gestures, so you can scroll like you do with any phone today. Another kind of input is the accelerometer. And the accelerometer allows you to get like the three axis information, the three acceleration, the three axis. So this is what they teach me at school. Basically, when you start playing with the accelerometer and you start looking at the values that this generates, you start getting into the dilemma, what is this number, right? Because it gives you values between -1 and 1 for each axis. And then you start rotating and playing and say, well, why is it showing this? At school, they learned me to put the hands like this. And basically, one is X, one is Y, and the other is zeta. And so this will be positive zeta, positive Y, and positive X. And all the rest, if you flip this, and this like aligns with the phone this way. So once you turn the phone, all the axes will turn like your hand. Did you study physics at school? Did you study this rule? Yes, somebody does. Good. I always wonder, like, why is this useful? Now I understand, for building Windows Phone applications. So let's have a look to the accelerometer class. Again, I want to show you how quick it is to start from scratch. So I will open again a new project, Windows Phone application. And this time, I will change the current content. And I will change it from a grid to a canvas. And then inside the canvas, because I'm very... by the way, this is not the final build. Let me close a few projects. I have about 15 projects open. It might be one of the reasons. Okay, let's reuse this one. Now, obviously, you understand how we release a CTP. Is it correct, Charlie? Is this a CTP? Okay, it's a CTP, meaning that the quality that you should expect from this platform will definitely increase with the next releases. This is already very good. You've seen the performance. You've seen that, hey, guys, I have like 15 projects open on something that we just released. It's not too bad. So this time I want to do something more creative. Let's add a button. And this time the content will be ciao. And then what I want to do now is I want to move the position of the button, basically using the accelerometer. So if I go back to the code, I need to create an accelerometer class. I need to define my accelerometer. In order to do this, you need to add a reference. When you look at the references, you can see at the bottom, like the silverlight dot. Those are the same silverlight references that you have today in your silverlight application. On the top, instead, you see those new namespaces, Microsoft dot something. Those are the specific libraries for Windows Phone. And the accelerometer one is inside the Microsoft devices sensors. So what you can do now is define like an accelerometer. This is called accelerometer sensor. And I have my sensor. How do you get the accelerometer? This is using like the singlet of pattern. So you use the accelerometer sensor dot default, and this will give you the default accelerometer on this device. And then how do you start playing with it? Well, first of all, you want to get the data back from the sensor. And this is given to you by the reading changed event. And then you want to start the sensor. So the sensor will start listening for accelerometer variation and will start sending you the output. That's it. Again, I'm sure that some of you played with the accelerometer before on the phones, and you know that one of the issues in any platform until today was that each single phone had a different API, different results, different kind of types of values, etc. This gives you a very high abstraction layer. You can use this API straightforward, and it will work across any device. You don't need to think, oh, but this is an HTC, and so they're using the point instead of the minus, or they are doing something different way. Everything works the same way across all the devices. Once you have the data here, let me copy this. Basically, what I'm doing is calling a dispatcher, and I will tell you in a minute why, and I'm setting the left-hand top property on my button. Let's call my button. You can see how creative I am with the names in general. This is something that I think this is one of the main reasons I've been hired. Okay, this was a joke. The reason I'm using the dispatcher is that there is currently a bug with the accelerometer class. So basically, normally you would expect that accelerometer works in the background, and then when it gives you the event, you can start using the event from your UI thread. In this case, this event is sent in the background, in the foreground thread. And so you need to use the dispatcher in order to move from one thread to the other. You will not need to use this in the future, in future releases. So let's deploy this to the device. So you see like four lines of code, creating the accelerometer, setting up my event. I'm starting the accelerometer, and then when I receive the value, I change the left position of the button. Now, when I start clicking on the button, basically, nope, don't rotate. Don't do this. It moves. This time I use the button click. Oh, but I use the button click, but where is the button click here? There isn't. How did I create this event? Well, I told you, I apologize. I can assure you that taking four airplanes on the same day and doing sessions in between, sometime in the airport, is not the best thing to do. It's just a recommendation for the future. I should put this in my memo. Okay, this time it will work. Woo! What do you think? I'm gonna spend the rest of the presentation playing with this demo. No, obviously, the example that I'm showing are kind of silly, but you can see this, the simplicity. You can see where I'm going with this, right? You are smart developers. How many designers there are in this room, by the way? So you have a lot of smart designers that will have a lot of work to do to improve the code that us developers write, like this. And so you can really have fun, and you can really like create exciting scenarios with this. So is the emulator supporting the accelerometer? The answer is today, no. Although there are plans to connect the emulator to the API that are part of Windows 7. And these apply not just to the accelerometer, but in general to any other API. You know that a Windows 7 operating system has like the capability of using the accelerator in the laptop or the GPS, etc. And so you should expect that at some point there will be some kind of bridge. What Rob is going to show you in the demo later is a kind of a stub where he's using the... Well, I'm not going to tell you. Are you going to this session? Is it about XLA and games? Well, just a preview. It will use basically a joypad to control the accelerometer because it doesn't have a device and it doesn't have the accelerator on his device. But he will talk more about this later. The other input that you can get on the device is the audio. And you have a microphone, and you can have access to the audio input coming from the Microsoft. And this comes as a raw wave data, and so you can do any processing, any mining that you want on that feed. You have like the buffer edges events, so you can pull them with your specific time. And the minimum, I think, is 10 milliseconds of latency. Obviously, there is a minimum latency to get access to the audio that you're getting from the microphone. And this is partially given to you by the XNA API. So from a Silverlight application, you can also use some of the XNA APIs. At Mix, we show a demo that I think it's very interesting to show it now. This is a project build in about 1 week. And I think this is one of my favorite demo build until today. This is built by a very set of smart people in San Francisco. And they thought, why don't we have fun of Microsoft guys? And then they built this demo. But the end result is actually fairly cool. So you have here like this application. It's called Marionette. And what you can do with this application is selecting a character. For example, you can see Steve, my boss. He'll be happy. And you can put his face here, right? Again, this is built all with Silverlight. And then you move to the next step, and... And you want to dress Steve, like you know Steve never goes around with a t-shirt. He has always his own red pullover. Where is it? Here it is. This is Steve. And let's change the trousers. And then the other thing that you can do here, like I talked about the accelerometer, basically you can use the accelerometer on the device and you can make this walk. You hear the ouch, right? And you can shake it in all the direction, and it will just... So there is a physics engine applied to this model. And I want you to look at the performance of this application and how cool is it. When Scott Guthrie saw this application for the first time, he said, please put this name, all his enemies. And he started going around, like, I want to show this. And he showed this to Bob, right? And yeah. And then Scott is still there, so I think Bob liked it. The next part, interesting part of this demo is the audio. So this demo allows you to record the audio, which I'm not doing right now, and then it allows you to replay the audio, but applying some effect. Can you hear what he says? He's saying phone developers. And then if you click here, you can pitch the audio. And basically, Basically, what I'm doing here is pitching the audio, and in real time, I'm going through the buffer of the, my audio stream buffer, and they're changing, like, you know, they're doing FFT. Please stop it. they're doing the FFT transformation on top of this. And then lastly, obviously, you can share this on Facebook. Thanks. Thanks, Steve. So you'll be happy that Steve saved on developers. The other demo that I want to show you with the accelerometer should be here. It's called Madness. And this comes from Peter Blois. Peter Blois is one of the guys working in the, Expression team. He's a very smart guy. He's a very good designer. He can build very cool application. And what he's done in the past was like a physics engine for Sivrite, Sivrite, the browser as we already know it. And then he took the same engine, and he basically converted that engine to run on Windows Phone. And what we realized that basically it didn't have to do anything other than switch the template of the project. The code is exactly the same as before. So it does have some helper class that allows him to create object and then add like physics behaviors to those objects. If I run this demo on the device, this demo is using the accelerometer, is using the physics engine, and allows you to, well, it's a game. It allows you to play. Easy as that. So you can choose like a different level. For example, let me start with the basic one. You might have seen this before. And you have your ball, and you can play with these, and yes, you win. Or you can go to a more complex level. For example, the one that I really like is pinball. You remember pinball from Windows XP, 95, what was it? And so basically you have a pinball here. Oh, already lost. And you can see, like, you can play with the accelerometer, with the physics engine, and with pinball. And this, again, is using an existing library that has been built for Sivrite. The code of this demo is available, so you can create your own application on top of this physics engine. You can extend this physics engine. There are many other libraries that allows you to do similar things. Okay, so we talk about the accelerometer. We talk about the audio. But what about the media in general? The media is obviously an important scenario. On the Sivrite for desktop framework, you have the media element, which allows you to play video, allows you to play audio content. And it does have a bunch of properties, like to do smooth streaming and smart things. On the Windows Phone 7, surprise, you have the same. So we support exactly the same media element on the Windows Phone 7 series. So you can have hardware decode, because obviously we have a GPU inside the device, and everything that happens in the media element is hardware accelerated by your GPU. You can play with the stream source, so you can change, as you see in the previous demo, in real time you can operate with the media stream. You can apply play-ready DRM. So for example, Netflix is going to deliver movies, videos in general, through Windows Phone 7 series, and they will use DRM for doing this. And also you can play with the XNA APIs and do something like looping or like DJ application, and you can overlap multiple sounds at the same time. The only limitation, the only thing that is different compared to the desktop app is you can have only one media element per page. So if you need more than one media elements, you probably need to create two different pages and do some animation between those. And there is no video brush. But anything else, including a transformation animation on top of your media element control, all of these are just supported. And I will show you how easy it is to create a project with a media file inside it. So let's start using the same project. So let me clean this. Okay, this time I'm going to delete the button click, make this portrait only. All right. So what are the steps in order to use a video element inside the phone? You go to the toolbox, you drag and drop a media element inside the page. You can set the size. For example, I'm putting it here. And then I want, obviously I need a button. There is a button in each of my demos. And the button is going to play the content. And when I click the button, I will play the content. On my media element, I need to specify a few properties. First of all, the source. I need a video. And I think I have the video on my desktop, so... Yes. Let me add a video to this project. Notice that I'm not changing the build action. I'm leaving this to content. I'm not changing it to resource. And the reason is that there is a bug right now in the way we handle resources. It will be fixed, I think, very soon with the next update. So next step, I'm on source, and I put like the address of the of my video files. And this is what I'm referring to. Like, you have this error, but you can just ignore it. And yes. Wow. This is called extreme programming. Now, my office is not enough big, but does somebody of you wants to come to my office and sit on my back and fix my demos while I write? It might be actually useful and funny. The other thing that you want to do is cache mode. And you want to set this to bitmap cache. Why? As I told you, the media element is hardware accelerated. And in order to hardware accelerate any content inside your Silverlight application, you can set the cache mode to bitmap cache. And this will send this control, the rendering of this control, to the hardware. For the media element, right now you need to specify this manually, although, like, again, in the next release, this will be automatic, so you don't need to set this property again. And the other property I want to set is the autoplay, and I want to set this to false, because I want the video to start when I hit my play. Lastly, I give a name to my element. If it doesn't already have one, let's see if it does have one. Canvas, name, media element one, yeah. And from the button, I'm going to play this. Now, let's roll this on the emulator. And if I didn't do any other mistake, if I did some mistake, you are responsible now, because you are supposed to fix any of my bugs. Otherwise, when I hit play, I have my video playing. Now, it might seem easy, but you've seen as with two steps, you can embed videos, you can embed content inside your application. I challenge you to do something similar with the other platform in 1 minute. So I think this is part of the huge work that the Windows Mobile team has done to really optimize the developer experience building those applications. We're really optimizing for you to make you be able to build scenarios, compelling scenario, very quickly, very easily, with existing resources, with existing tools. When I talk about the video also, there are many things, as you heard about, you probably heard about, like the smooth streaming videos and all of these, like, real-time adapting of the ratio depending on the bandwidth. All of those are supported on the phone as well. So you can have like that kind of quality, HD quality, and live smooth streaming on the phone, on your device as well. And I think we are going to see some very compelling application at launch. We already had some majors, like Netflix and many other major companies committed to this platform. When they see it, when they saw it for the first time, they were like, ooh, wow, I want to build on top of this. So I'm looking forward to see the first application running on this. What about the codecs? What codecs are we supporting on the device? So the codecs that we support on the device are the same that we support on the desktop, plus the codecs that are supported by Windows OS. Sorry, Windows CE. So for the video, we support like H.264, and in particular, like the all the profiles. We also support the VC1, is like our Microsoft standard, and again, simple, main, advanced profiles. We support the VIX, 4, 5, 6, and we support like all the others, the M4V, 3GP, etc. You're probably familiar with this. These are all of the, most of the videos supported by several devices today on your phones. The difference is that each of your phones probably support one of those, while Windows Phone 7 will support all of these together. On the audio, obviously, we support Wave. It's easy. We support MP3, we support AAS, and again, MP4. On the images, you have native support for JPG, PNG, and JEF. There is an MSDN article that goes even more in depth into exactly what type of container versus codecs you can use to build a media for the device. And you can see this, this article in the resources at the end of this presentation. The other important control that we introduce in Windows Phone 7 is the web browser control. And you already have a web browser control in the Silverlight framework. And as Silverlight offline allows you to host like the web browser inside a Silverlight application, this time you can do the same on the phone. You can host a browser inside your application. And you can have the browser to access like network content versus local content. It is kind of like a resource that is embedded inside your project. Or you can interact with this content. So you can call JavaScript on the document, and you can raise events from the HTML page back to the Silverlight page. You have full support for the gesture, so you can double tap for zooming and things like that. And you can do any kind of rotation, animation, projection. You can do anything. So what is the difference between... I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I think it's important to give a message here, which is website builds for the desktop, they don't just run on the phone, regardless how good the browser is. And the reason is that a website is designed for 800 by 600, or maybe even a bigger resolution. On the phone, you have a viewport. You have a limited space that you can see at the same time. And so the way the browser on the phone works is that it will take a viewport, and then you can basically, with the finger, change the position of the viewport and scroll around the site. Or you can zoom in, zoom out. But still, you need to get into this mind when you start building a web application for the phone. So let me show you a couple of examples. Let's start from something simple. In this case, I have a page. This is an HTML page with an input box and an input button. And I have two functions. The first one will basically be called by Silverlight. So Silverlight can invoke this function. The second function instead called the Silverlight framework. So it's doing a windows.external.notify call to the Silverlight framework. In my Silverlight application, if I open the main page and I scroll to the bottom, I have a browser control. It's called web browser. And this control is pointing to my sample page. In fact, if I go to the source code, you can see how I'm enabling the script. And when the control is available, basically I'm navigating the control to my sample.html page. And again, I'm embedding this as a local resource to my project. And then I have a button in my Silverlight application, and I can invoke the script that you see previously on the HTML page. And also I can get a notification from the web page when something happened on the web. Okay, let's run this on the device. Device. So you can see the white space here is the browser. And if I double click, basically, it will zoom to the page. And this is like the viewport that I was referring to previously. And then if I click go, basically I'm sending a notification to the browser, and you can see how the content inside the HTML page change. And if I do the opposite, notice also the integration with the T9, how's it called here? Like the auto-suggestion for the content. And then I call Silverlight. This is calling the windows.external.notify, and you can see the content reflecting in a Silverlight application. What do you think about this? Nice. So you have full interoperability between the browser and the Silverlight application. And you can see this for all of those scenarios where maybe you need to render something from the browser. It could be part of your website, it could be a service, it could be an ad, I don't know. But there are scenarios where I'm sure at some point you will want to access the website. The other option, obviously, is to run the full browser, so you can move from your application to the full browser and send the user to the full browser experience. Now, if this is simple, let's go to something more more complex. Let me deploy this project again to my device. And as you can probably guess from the name of the project, Cube Demo, basically this is playing with the graphic around the web control object. So if I switch back to the phone again, this time I have the same browser control that you've seen previously. It's a bit black. Here it is. I can go, for example, to my favorite search provider. This wasn't supposed to be a joke. I navigate. Sorry? I'm sure there is something wrong between me and the button. I need to start using something else. Well, for the sake of this demo, I will switch to the emulator. These things happen. I mean, this is a prototype. This is not the final phone. You know that this is not the final phone, right? This is a prototype, which makes it even more expensive. 1,200? So I'm on the emulator this time. Let's go here to Bing. Let's navigate. I'm sure it's going to work. I'm sure. Or maybe I lost the connectivity. Oh, it is. And then this is flat. This is a flat vision of the world. The browser, boring browser, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows the browser. What you really do, what you really need in reality, is a spinning browser, don't you? And so again, you can see this is Silverlight. This is nothing. This is not a video. This is Silverlight, and it's animating in real time your browser page. And as I'm doing this with the page, you can do it with any other Silverlight control. And look at the performance. And this again is like a few lines of code. I'm just using the projections in the Silverlight framework. The only problem about this demo is that you cannot stop it, so I will kill it. Next, hub integration. And Charlie is going to talk you more in depth about what the hub is. But the idea is that on your phone you have a few apps, for example, the pictures, the contacts, etc. And your application can connect inside the hub, can be part of the hub experience. So, for example, I'm looking at a picture. I click on the image, and a drop-down will come from the bottom, and this is like a list of options. One of those is, for example, Create. So if I click on Create, you can have your own application attached to that Create button. You can add your specific application, and you can make... Basically, this is like a shortcut from the phone OS to your application. And so you can send this image to your application, or you can start editing, for example, the image with your application. This is called a launcher. And the concept is easy. You have launchers and choosers. The launchers are things that you launch, and then something else will happen. For example, I launch the browser, and then the user play with the browser. The chooser is kind of a modal dialog, where you run another external application, for example, the camera. The user takes the picture, and then he returns back to your application, and you can use the picture that the user has just taken. So I think I have a demo for the camera here. Obviously, this device has a camera, and you can interact with the camera on the device. Let's do something. For example, reusing again the same project. I promise, this time I'm not going to use a button. No, I have to. I'm going to add a new element, the image. New element for this, obviously you're familiar with the image. Image, and I'm going to call it image one. Let's say with 400, hey, 400. And then I need a button, absolutely need a button. And click command. button click, X name of the button, button one, content of the button, tech picture. And then when I click the button, basically I want to run the camera. I want to connect to the camera and take a picture from my application. And then I also want to edit this picture. So this time I need to add another reference because I'm connecting to a chooser. And you can find all the choosers and the launchers under tasks. So if you add a reference to the task, then you can start using it. Button click. This is old. And so this time I'm going to have like camera capture task. This is one of the choosers and allows me to connect to the camera. I create it as a normal class and I can just say cam.show. And this will launch the camera as an external application. How do I return back? You can override an event here called onChooserReturn. And this will return to the application when the user accepts the image on the camera. And for example, you can take the picture and do some crazy stuff with it. In this case, I'm making it black and white. It's easy as that. Just playing a bit with the pixels. And you can see that. Let me show you quickly what I get back from the chooser return. I have like an event. I cast this event to a chooser event arg, in particular the photo result, because I know that I launched the camera. And then I can basically get the chosen photo from that event. Add a few references. Add this to the device. Today, you are not able to test the camera on the emulator for obvious reasons. I'm confident that there will be a way to do this in the future. So I'm running the device. Maybe we never show this. Maybe it's super secret internal, but Charlie is not looking. So this is like the boot time of the device. So you can get all the secret information about the build and stuff like that. It was too late for you to take pictures, so it takes a couple of seconds, and then I should see the device. And then from my Visual Studio project, I just compile this project. Let's make sure that there is no error. And then I send this project to my device. Visual Studio connects to the device, deploys the application, is deploying the XAP. This takes, when you connect the device for the first time, you notice that I reset the device because the previous demo was kind of in a funny state. When you restart the device, the first time you run the demo, it takes slightly more because you need to create all the binding for the debugger and needs to move all the symbols. All the following deploys are faster. So this time I take a picture. You see I click take a picture. Smile. No, you cannot take a picture of me. It's not fair. Click. OK. I took the picture. After I took the picture, it said, do you want to accept this? No. Go back. And I have the picture. And the picture is automatically goes into the application. The application is playing with the bits, and it displays the picture in black and white. All right. And this was the last control for today. You have several controls. You have several tasks. You have several choosers and launchers. You can access, for example, the contacts. You can go to your emails. You can run like the browser, as I said earlier. You can connect to the marketplace. So for example, if the user likes your application, you can have a button to buy another application built by you. It's just like a free idea for you. What about the services? Windows Phone 7 is also about services. We talk about platform, we talk about controls, but then there are services such as the location, which are fundamental for your application. They need to be location aware, probably, most of them. And so with the Phone 7 series, we are abstracting the layer of location, and you have an object again, it's just like a class, a reference inside your project, that you can use to connect to understand what the location is. Now, the good thing about this model is that the API is very generic. But in the background, basically, we go and get the data from the Wi-Fi or the cell tower or the GPS, depending, for example, on your connectivity or the power battery, the battery on your phone. So, for example, if your phone battery is going down, probably it's not going to turn on the GPS, but it's going to use cached result, or maybe it's going to use the Wi-Fi to triangulate the signal between the Wi-Fi and your cell towers from other users in the same area. And this is absolutely a very smart system that allows you to get the location wherever you are, even like indoor eventually. It will connect to the access point and it will tell you where you are based on that. The other very important service are push notifications. And the reason I like this is that it allows you to create very complex scenarios that works in the background. The idea of the notification is to send a notification to the user when something changes. And there are three types of notification. The first one is the tile. So when I go back to the device, each of these rectangles is called tile. And the content inside the tile can dynamically change. And you can make that change. So if something happens on the server and you want to propagate that update, there is a way for you to push that update to the device, and the device will show the updates there. The other one is called toast, and the toast is what happens here on the top of the device, where, again, you are, for example, browsing, and your application in the background knows that wants to notify the user with some message. You can do it, and you can see from the server you can send a notification to the user. And the third one is just like a normal notification update that runs inside your application. So, for example, I'm browsing a list. Let's say that this list, for some reason, changed dynamically. You can send an update to the device, and the device will refresh this list. Now, I think it's important to understand the architecture of the notification services. And to show you this, I prepared this slide. On the top, the top banner, this is what happens on the device. The bottom blue line is what happens on the server, like back server. So on the device, the first thing you need to do is creating an app. You have your own app. The next step is open a push channel with the push client on the device. And I will show you shortly how this code looks like. When you open the push channel, basically you get back a URI. And this is like a URL of a web service in the cloud. It's a normal HTTP URL. You need to find a way to send this URL to the server. When I say server, this is like your background application, background service running in your server. And the server collects the URI from each device. The interesting thing about this URI is that this is specific for each phone. So basically, each device will have its own URL. And this allows you to send different messages, maybe depending on the device that is calling your server. And that's it. And then the user can turn off the device, can walk home, can restart the device the next day. What happens now? Your service is running, right? This is a background service running on your server, so you can do anything that you want on your server. And let's say that at some point you want to notify the user about something. Like there's been an update in the latest result of your football match. You want to send an update to the client. What you do this time is interesting. You're not going back to the client, but you're going to another service. And this is hosted by Microsoft. This is like a cloud infrastructure. And you send to that server the message that you want to propagate to the device, plus the URL that you receive from the device. That URL basically is the address of the device. Our server basically will push this notification to the client, to the device, and the device basically will send this message back to the application in the form of a normal message, normal event, or a toast, or a tile, as I just showed you. Is this clear? Yes? Looks familiar. To any, this is like an asynchronous, it's a model, well. Exactly. It's really similar to Exchange, if you're familiar with Exchange. Let me finish and then we'll take the questions. And it's very similar to Exchange. And basically allows you to transfer even more information and you can have your own data set that you can transfer. Now, I have a demo for this, and I call this the, this is the last demo. This is the kamikaze demo, and the reason I say kamikaze is that it doesn't often work. But I'm a kamikaze, so I'm going to try. Let's start this service first. Okay, I need some love for this demo. This is very complex. And let me start also this one. So I have two projects. One is running on the phone, and one is running on the server. I will deploy this application to my phone. And you can see here as I'm opening the new channel. This is the HTTP channel that I showed you in the previous slide. I deploy this to the device. On the other side, I have a desktop application that is talking with my cloud service. So the desktop application at this point is my background server, and the other one is like the application running on the device. When I run that application on the device, I can create a new channel. So I click connect, and basically this will create a new channel. One of the information given by this object is should be, well, let me see if it's coming here. Let me reconnect. No, I think this is not my lucky day. So as I say, this was the kamikaze demo. I will just skip this, and I will show it later if you want to see it offline. But basically, that client create a new channel. The reason it's not working is that I'm proxying my network communication through the USB cable. The connectivity on this on my laptop is very loose, and it keeps losing the status, and I think that's one of the reasons. No, it's the internet cable that I had previously issue with connecting to the internet. If I use the emulator, it might work, but I think that I gave you a good explanation. The code of this is public. I prefer to take questions versus pushing on this demo. And again, we can try this later offline. So to close this session, you can get any information that is available today about the Windows Phone 7 series inside the developer Windows Phone website. Charlie and his team has a blog where it's below where they post like messages, well, blog posts about Windows Phone, and they will publish even more posts in the coming weeks about what's coming next and what you can do with the current emulator. And from this blog, you can also download the source code for most of the demos that I show you today. Civilite.net remains the starting page for any Civilite application development. With that, I'd like to thank you for your time, and I want to take any of your questions. Thank you. Yes.
And you showed the interaction between a web browser and Silverlight, of course. I was thinking, what about security?
What about security? So, yeah, the security of the browser is relaxed in the context of your application. So basically, it's sandboxed to your application. So you, all the cookies and all the access is limited to the sandbox of your application. You cannot share cookies between two different applications, for example. So like your application live in a sandbox and the browser live in the same sandbox. So your application can access the browser and do anything that your application allows you to do. Not really, because the external page needs to call the windows.external.notify, can only call function that you define on your code, cannot call something else. So if you don't define that function, basically you don't create an entry point. So probably would say best practice would be to, when you create that function inside your Civilite application, is to create like a gate and make sure that the request is coming from your side. You can look, for example, to the domain. You can say only requests coming from this domain are accepted, and I'm going to reject the others if you prefer. But you are in control of that channel. Yes?
Could you tell something about the support for Silverlight Toolkit, like Silverlight Toolkit 3 or 4?
So Silverlight Toolkit, for those of you that don't know, it's like a toolkit of controls that extend existing control in the Silver framework. Definitely, I think that some of these controls, they just run on the device, but it's definitely interesting to take some of those controls and do like a proper porting for the device, plus adding other controls, because as you've seen from the user interface, like just for example the rotation or the tilting of the buttons, all of this could be easily be like a specific toolkit of Sivrite for Windows Phone 7 series controls. And I think this is something that we are definitely investigating internally, and we will publish like CodePlex, we will publish on CodePlex samples, and we'll start like aggregating this.
Could it be possible in this setup to use the advanced security features of Shay Server, like remote wipe if you log in certain limit?
So the question is, can you use the security feature of Exchange?
Server like remote wipe.
I honestly don't know. Let's take this offline and maybe. I don't know the security model of Exchange, so I cannot answer. But I'll take that offline. Yes.
Do all compact framework applications work on Windows 7?
So first question is, do Compact Framework applications work on Windows 7? There is a session tomorrow that shows you how to port an application from the build, for example, for 6.5 to the Silverlight model. As you've seen, this is C Sharp. You have access to the libraries, .NET libraries that you're familiar with. So basically, you get all the C Sharp code that you had in the Compact Framework, plus the XAML that simplifies much more any kind of like design need that you maybe did before with a Direct2D or something else. So Windows Phone 7 runs Silverlight and XNA applications, yes. And the second question is, can you run Silverlight application inside Windows 6.5? This is called Windows Phone 7 series. So the answer is yes, I think, yeah. When you shut down the application, will the state be stored? There is an interesting session on the architecture. This is from Mix. It's been recorded and is available in the blog. And basically shows you all the details behind the like pause of application, or like what happens if I click the back button and then I go back. Basically, the short answer is the application is freezed, but it's up to you to save the status like on some local storage. So each application will have a local storage. You don't have any limit space, and you can save your status. And then maybe the task manager at some point, because the user is opening other 20 applications, will kill your application from the ghost mode. And when you restart the application, you can look in the local storage and resume the app from there.
But when the task manager kills your application, it will have also event. It will also fire event in your
The question is, when the task manager kills the application, will you get an event? It depends, and I would suggest you to look at the session from Mix that is about the architecture and goes in detail into this. Sure. Yes. How can I convince Firefox to build an application for the Windows Phone 7 series? No, so the question is, application developer are stopping the developer from 6.5. Honestly, I don't think this is true. I don't think this is true at all. We are not dismissing 6.5. This is still a great platform. I built like a game in 6.5 in for like 4 weeks ago. I put it on the marketplace. I'm getting enough money that I will keep building on top of it. It is there, and absolutely, 6.5 gives you other scenarios. Obviously, you don't have Silverlight, but you have other stuff. On the Firefox question, obviously, I don't work for Firefox, if that wasn't clear.
They cannot go deep in the API.
This is the question. And the answer is, this is a full operating system, right? As you can see from the application that are embedded, comes with the operating system, you can do pretty much everything. We are working, for example, with Adobe to allow them to port Flash on the operating system as well. So I would say if Mozilla is interested to build a browser for our device, I don't see why they wouldn't be able to do the same. And then all the other conversation, again, I'm not working with them on this, but technically nothing is impossible. As a developer, you know that technically you can do anything. It's always something else. Yes. Are developers allowed to use something that is not documented? As a Microsoft employee, regardless of the product, no. Well, I think the answer is you have a framework, either XNA or Silverlight, that allows you to do an amount of operations. So until you use these APIs, you're okay. This is what you can do, and that should cover pretty much everything on the phone. If you want to do something else and create apps, and maybe you can go to XDA developers, et cetera, and do something with them. Well, I'm not going to stop you, but we obviously cannot support that approach.
Are there any areas that you keep like exclusive, that you let only a limited part of developers use that with signing?
Are areas that we keep exclusive? No. No. Yeah. All right. Thank you again for your time. Thank you.